Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Eugene Meltzner here, inviting you to join today's assemblage of characters and myself for an extended period of discovery, imagination, and exhilaration. Excitement, that is. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
It looks like a box.
Whoa.
I'll bet it's some kind of secret treasure.
Odyssey citizen dies from mystery gunshot.
I think it came from over there, near the general store.
No, it didn't.
Wait a second. This can't be.
Good heavens.
Don't you see? It's like a mission from God.
Felicitations.
Hi, Eugene.
Oh, greetings and salutations, Jared, Dwayne.
We saw you out here digging and thought we'd see what you were doing.
Ah, I'm conducting a horticultural experiment. Would you care to assist?
Sure, but what's a horticultural and why are you going to experiment on it?
Allow me to show you. Take the shovel, please.
Okay.
Now, continue to dig where I've been digging, right there.
Alright.
A little to the left, please. Thank you.
Alright. What are we supposed to be observing here, Eugene, besides my blisters?
We are observing the birth of a garden in the tradition of the Austrian monk Gregor Mendel, the great genetic pioneer.
Oh.
Whilst pursuing Mendel's manifold manuscripts, I was intrigued by his genetic study of garden peas.
Wait a second. We're doing all this work for peas?
Precisely. You will soon enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Isn't that more like the vegetables of your labor? What was that?
I don't know. A rock or something.
Rock stung dough ka-thunk.
Oh, I wonder.
It's something wooden. It looks like a box.
Whoa.
I'll bet it's some kind of secret treasure.
Highly unlikely, and yet... Jared, you take that side, and we'll try to extract the object.
All right.
Just a little more.
All right, I got it.
Here we...
Wow!
Extraordinary.
What is it?
It appears to be some sort of containment device.
Yeah, a box, like I said. You gonna open it?
If I'm able.
What is it?
Curious.
Curious? Let me see. A hat, a piece of newspaper, something wrapped up. It's a bunch of old stuff, no treasure.
Yes, but why would someone go to all the trouble of burying these items?
Ran out of room in the garbage can?
See, this newspaper article is from 1921, so one might assume that this box was buried around that time. This is quite a mystery.
It is.
So, what are you gonna do with it, Eugene?
I believe I shall take it to someone well-versed in items of this vintage.
Meaning what?
I shall take them to Mr. Jack Allen at J&J's Antiques. Would you care to join me since you're partners in this find?
Well...
Sure. After all, it is a mystery.
Indeed, a mystery.
So this was buried behind Wits End.
You'll notice a yellowed newspaper article inside dated 1921, along with other artifacts presumably from that period.
It's an interesting collection. Did you notice the headline on the article?
Indeed. Odyssey citizen dies from mystery gunshot.
Hey, you didn't tell us there was a murder, Eugene.
Did I neglect to mention it?
But why would somebody save that?
Good question. Let's see, what else is...
A fedora.
Mr. Allen, look! There's an envelope stuck inside the hat fedora thing. A secret note. Read it, Mr. Allen.
Let's see. 11 years ago, I did something I wish I could forget forever.
I was 12, and my father took me to the general store in town. I asked him if I could stay with our horse and buggy while he went inside to purchase supplies.
Okay, but you stay out of trouble now, yeah?
What I really wanted to do was look at a pistol he had kept hidden underneath the seat for emergencies. He never let me touch the gun, and that made me curious all the more. I made sure no one was watching me and took it out very carefully. It was a fine piece. A 38 military and police. The most famous revolver Smith & Wesson ever made. I wasn't thinking and squeezed the trigger, never thinking it could be loaded. But it was. The sound exploded down the street and echoed as if it came from all directions. The hot barrel burnt my fingers, so I dropped the gun on the floor.
Hey!
Then I heard someone yell.
It's Garrison. It's John Garrison.
I looked across the street, and there was a man lying there. I wondered what was wrong with him. Scared, I slipped the gun back under the seat and ran over to where the man was. By then, there was a crowd all around him. All I could see was this man's face. It was pale. Dr. Bowles, who had an office right there, he rushed to help him.
Please, folks, I need some room here.
I heard the gun go off. I think it came from over there, near the general store.
No, it didn't. It came from that direction. I'd swear on it.
We have to find the killer before he gets away. You two, go down Main Street. Rest of you cut across the park and spread out.
Let's go.
The man on the street had been shot. Now men were searching for a killer. With growing horror, I realized they were looking for me.
Come on, son. You best hop back in the buggy and wait there. I'm gonna have a look around to see if I can find whoever did this.
I wanted to say something. I wanted to confess. But I kept thinking they'd throw my daddy, maybe even my whole family, in jail for what I'd done. So I kept quiet while they searched for the killer. And later, when the newspapers said the bullet that killed the man in the street had come from a Smith & Wesson, I was sure my father would realize what had happened. But then I heard him tell my mother that it couldn't have been his gun because he'd unloaded it a couple of days before we went to town. He kept the bullets in a box further under the seat. I was relieved, but guilt-stricken all the same. It was one bullet. One bullet that he'd missed when he'd unloaded the gun. It was enough. The search for the mystery killer eventually ended. No one ever found out. The man who died was a father, too. He had three daughters, 12, 7, and 3 years old. 11 years later, I fell in love with his oldest daughter. But I could not love her and live with this wretched secret. And so, I have broken our engagement. Now I must break these chains of guilt. Coward that I am, unable to confess, I am burying this box. You are reading this letter, and you may be surprised by what you found here. If these items lead you to me, then I will accept my fate and face my punishment.
Until then, I have buried my sin.
What a tragedy.
And to think his whole life.
Mr. Allen, there's one more thing in the box.
Oh. Oh, it's wrapped up. Hand me that pocket knife, Wayne.
Here.
Thank you. If I cut this twine. Good heavens.
That's the gun he used.
Whoa.
Quite startling.
So I guess this guy got off free after all.
Has he? He may still be alive.
Mr. Allen, shouldn't we report this to the police?
Yes, we should. Though I doubt the police will be interested in a murder case that took place back in the 20s. I tell you what. Leave the box with me. I'll call a friend of mine at the police department to see what he thinks.
Mr. Allen, would it be permissible to make a copy of these documents?
I suppose so. Copier's right over there. Help yourself.
Can I have a copy, too, since we're partners, like you said?
Certainly, Jared.
Hello?
Oh, Officer Murphy. Jack Allen here.
Yes, Jack.
I've got something to talk to you about.
Believe it. I'm at the library on my day off.
You never should have told me about these microfiche machines. They're amazing. They've got all the old newspapers right here to look at. Now you read the article to me and I'll make the notes with my detective pencil.
Detective pencil?
Go and stick to the facts.
Okay, let's see. John P. Garrison, husband and father of three, was fatally wounded on Main Street at approximately noon this past Wednesday.
All right, got it.
He was walking down the pavement when suddenly, blah, 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 people searched for the culprit, Dr. Bowles tried valiantly to save the man, yada, 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 no suspects. Oh, and it says that Garrison leaves behind a loving wife and three daughters, Rachel, Grace, and Ruth.
Okay, so we've got the name of John P. Garrison and his family. That's a start.
Yeah, funny, because that name sounds familiar to me.
The murder was in 1921. He writes a secret note 11 years later. Using my detective calculator, that's all.
Detective calculator.
I can determine the exact year was...
1932.
Of course. That's the year our mystery man said he broke off his engagement to Mr. Garrison's oldest daughter. And her name is there at the end of the article.
It's Rachel. Rachel Garrison. Rachel Garrison.
Look. Here, you see? They do engagement announcements in the newspaper. So, if our mystery man was engaged to Rachel Garrison, it'll be in here somewhere. And once we find it, voila, we find the name of our mystery man.
That would probably be in 1931 or 1932.
Keep looking.
All right, we've got a sighting.
Great!
Rachel Garrison, daughter of Mrs. John P. Garrison, has announced her engagement to...
Thomas Newcastle! That's our mystery man!
This is perfect.
Next, we look him up in the phone book. They've got one right over here.
All right, go ahead and look him up. I want to keep scanning these pages. Wait a second. This can't be. Hey, Jared!
Keep it down, will ya? I don't want to get thrown out again. Let's see. TB, TJ, Tammy, Terry, Thomas! Thomas Newcastle! I found him!
I can't believe this.
Thomas Newcastle lives at 615 Oldgate Road.
But it's all wrong.
What's wrong?
Look at this article. Rachel Garrison, daughter of Mrs. John P. Garrison, has announced her engagement to Charles Oswald.
Okay, so Rachel got engaged again. So what?
Look at the name.
Oswald. Yeah, that's your last name, too. Wait a second. Hey, are you...
Rachel Oswald is my great-grandmother.
Wait a minute. Then that means that...
Yeah! Thomas Newcastle murdered my great-great-grandfather.
Eugene? Eugene?
Oh, hello, Mr. Allen.
I'm on my way back from the police station. They asked me to drop off your buried treasure.
Oh, they were that interested?
More than that, Eugene. The police have decided to reopen the case.
After all these years?
Well, there's no statute of limitations for murder.
Of course.
The police want us to stay tight-lipped about your find while they conduct their investigation. We should tell Jared and Duane. Are they here?
Well, I haven't seen them since we left your shop earlier. Oh, my.
What's wrong?
I made them copies of the documents from the box.
Why did they want copies?
Well, curiosity, I thought, but...
You don't think they'd try to solve this case on their own, do you?
Two boys, one with hyper-imagination.
Eugene, we have to find those boys. If the man they're looking for is still alive and they find him, who knows what he'll do to them?
This is incredible, Duane! Thomas Newcastle actually murdered your great-great-grandfather, and we found him!
It all makes sense now. When we visited my Aunt Thelma as a kid, I remember hearing about some sort of a tragedy in her family history. But I never got the whole story, because they said I was too young. There was a shooting and something else. What was it? A letter!
What letter? The one in the box?
No! They called it the Dear Thomas letter. Quick! Let's go to my house!
Ugh, nothing like the smell of an old attic.
All right, the letter's in a jewelry box. I remember now because I found it when I was pulling up here once.
Does it have any?
There it is, right there between the moose head and the cello. See it?
Yeah. All right, I'll get it. Got it. There we go.
Okay, this is it. My great-grandma wrote this right before she died. The whole family still talks about it.
So, what's it say?
Dear Thomas, I've reached the end of my life, and though it has been a good life, I think of you still.
Still, and I'm haunted by what happened between us. I often wonder why you broke off our engagement that summer so long, long ago. I knew then that something was terribly wrong. You seemed so burdened by hurts that you would not share, troubled by a pain you would not speak of. And whether you meant to or not, you passed that hurt and pain to me when you abruptly ended our engagement. I have spent these years angry and confused when I've thought of it. But now, even so late in my life, I have finally found peace. You may laugh, Thomas, when I tell you why. For you and I considered ourselves above church going. Yet, I have joined their ranks. I met the one they speak of, Jesus Christ. And to my amazement, he washed all my hurt away, Thomas. So I think of you now. I think of that burden, that pain, and I wonder if you still have it. Because if you do, Jesus is standing close by right now to take your burden, to forgive you, to help you forgive, to heal you, Thomas, as he did for me. On the day you left me, you asked me to forgive you. I couldn't. But today, I can. Thomas, I forgive you. With love, Rachel. P.S.
I often wonder if you still have that fedora I gave you.
Wow. And he never saw this letter.
Nobody knew who the mysterious Thomas was.
But Dwayne, you know who he is?
Yeah. I guess I do.
Let's take it to him.
What? We can't.
We have to.
Why? He murdered my great-great-grandfather.
And he broke your great-grandmother's heart, too. But didn't you see what she was saying? She wrote this letter to tell him about forgiveness and peace. And it's like a message of hope from beyond the grave. Maybe this guy's been torturing himself all these years for a stupid accident that happened when he was our age. This letter could make all the difference in the world to him. Don't you see? It's like a mission from God. Weird. I didn't realize Old Gate Road was a hospital.
Retirement home. What room did the nurse say?
2B. And did you notice that she called him Dr. Newcastle?
Jared, I'm having second thoughts about all this.
It's too late. We're here. Dr. Thomas K. Newcastle. The moment of truth.
Hello? Who's there?
Visitors.
Visitors? Come on in. The door's unlocked.
Hello there. Who do we have here? It looks like two fine young men. You all have names, don't you?
Oh, right. I'm Jared.
And your name?
His name's Dwayne.
I see. Well, my name's Dr. Thomas Newcastle, but you can just call me Doc for short. Come in, come in. You all from a youth group or something?
No, not really.
Then what can I do for you?
Dwayne has something to give you, don't you, Dwayne?
Oh?
It's a letter addressed to you from my great-grandmother, Rachel Oswald.
Rachel Oswald? Well, if that doesn't beat all... Where is she? How is she?
She died just last year.
I see. That's a problem getting to be my age. You lose everybody you once knew.
Once. Long time ago.
That's right. In fact, believe it or not, I was engaged to her.
I know.
Do you? Did she tell you about me?
No. No one ever knew who Thomas was.
Then how did you know?
We found your box.
Box? What box?
The one you buried behind what's now Wits End.
Dwayne?
It had a hat in it, and a newspaper article, and a letter.
Dwayne!
And the gun you used to shoot my great-great-grandfather.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that box.
You're not going to deny it?
No, son, I won't. I've wondered for years whether or not that box would ever catch up with me, and now it has. Not that I ever spent a day without thinking about it. Listen to me, Dwayne. I can guess what you're thinking. You're thinking that I'm a murderer, and you're right, I am. You see, when I was no older than you, I made a terrible mistake. And what's worse, I didn't have the courage to confess it. So my whole life has been spent trying to live, trying to carry on, trying to cope while a box buried with my crime lay waiting for this day. And now, The only thing I can think to say is I'm so sorry for what I did. I won't ask for your forgiveness because that's impossible to get. But I'm sorry anyway.
Dwayne?
I think you should read the letter, Dr. Newcastle.
The letter?
If you want forgiveness, it'll tell you where to look.
All right, son. I'll read it. If not for my sake, but for the memory of dear Rachel.
Who's there?
Dr. Thomas Newcastle. This is the police.
Hi, Mr. Allen. Hello, Eugene.
Hello, Jared.
Greetings, Dwayne and Jared. You've arrived just in time.
Connie said you wanted us to come back here.
That's right. We have a little ceremony we wanted to perform.
Ceremony?
Mm-hmm. I suppose you saw the newspapers. Dr. Newcastle confessed to everything.
I saw.
They said the judge is going to put him on some kind of probation because of how young he was when it happened and how old he is now.
Indeed, a merciful thing for the judge to do.
But what's that got to do with this hole where the box was found? To be honest, I don't even want to think about it.
I understand, but you see, what the newspapers didn't say is that I went to visit Dr. Newcastle after he was arrested. I've spent quite a lot of time with him over the past few days.
Why?
Well, I thought he might need a friend. He told me about your visit. He also told me about your great-grandmother's letter to him.
What about it?
Well, that letter persuaded Dr. Newcastle he could be forgiven for what he did and had tried to bury. But you already knew the letter would do that, didn't you, Dwayne?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, as a result, Dr. Newcastle prayed to become a Christian.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now he wants to do something to symbolize his new life. That's why we're here. Back at the hole you dug.
We're going to bury something again?
But what?
The same box, only now it's open and it's empty. The contents have been revealed. Dr. Newcastle is free.
At least in the spiritual sense.
So, you see, the three of you played an important part in bringing a man to God. Which is why I wanted you to be here when we buried it again. Go ahead, Eugene.
Of course. I suppose the honor of burying it should go to the one who dug it up in the first place. Jared?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I always get stuck doing the dirty work?
Perhaps because you're so good at it? No, it seems as if we should say something.
Mm. Well, a couple of things come to mind.
Then, please.
The Bible tells us that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. So, though we run and hide our sins, God still seeks us out, and through his Son forgives us. Let's hope we all learn from Dr. Newcastle's lesson.
Amen.
Amen. It sure is sad that Dr. Newcastle spent his whole life feeling guilty about something that he could have been forgiven of a long time ago. But I'm glad he finally found Jesus and gave that sin over to him to be cleansed. Have you ever tried to hide something bad that you've done? Like the gang from Odyssey learned today, you probably discovered that it doesn't work too well. Because even if you hide it from others, God still knows, and so do you. But like the verse Jack quoted said, God does not treat us as our sin deserves. He forgives us. We just need to confess our sins to Him, accept His forgiveness, and then try to do better next time. Just like Dr. Newcastle, Dwayne, and Jared, you'll find the real treasure doesn't come in a buried box. It comes in uncovering the sin in your heart and realizing the amazing love of Jesus. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Buried Sin was written by John Beebe and directed by Bill Myers. Our production engineer was Jonathan Crow. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.